at Grace Community Church, and after every Women's Grace, which is their women's ministry, every Wednesday, they would do a mindset for missions, and they would have missionaries, wives come in, and sometimes the husbands, and speak to us about what they're doing on the mission field, or if they're leaving to go on the mission field. They shared with us their mission, and so that was really fun. Some of them were on furlough and just were sharing what God has been doing all around the world, and it really was mindset for missions that convinced me, at least, that I wanted to be in Canada. So many people go to seminary, leave their country, and don't come back, and listening to women talk about the heart of their people and wanting to share the gospel in the country that they came from really set my heart to be like, hey, Lord, we'll go wherever you want us to go, but please send us back to Canada, because Canada has so few faithful preachers in the pulpit, and I'm so happy he brought us back here. So that's really what set the trajectory of my heart to want to come back to Canada, was just seeing that there were so many people without sound teaching, and there was this little light shining in Edmonton, and we're like, oh, this is wonderful. So that was mindset for missions. For those of you who don't know, and I think there's only a couple of you that don't actually come to Grace Life, Jody Hovland is the wife of Pastor Mike Hovland, and he is the elder over missions. So if anyone is going to have great insight into this area of our church, it's Jody. So I'm super thankful that she's going to do this. So why don't you come up, Jody? And I'll quickly pray for you, and then you can get started.
Okay, thank you.
Father, thank you so much just for the message that you have laid on Jody's heart to share with us. We so long to see your gospel going out to the nations and really holding the rope for those who are already on the field, and even praying for those who will be going to the field, and how can we support them in however you call us to support them. So thank you so much, Lord, for what we're about to hear. Please be with Jody. I pray that your spirit would use her mightily and give her clarity, and that your son would be glorified in all that she says. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Erin. Thank you for letting me come and do this. I'm really excited to be here today and to talk to you about missions and about our missionaries. It's just nice to be with women. I'm usually with my sons on these mornings, surrounded by diapers and fish crackers and disgusting sippy cups. So it's nice to be just with your lovely faces and to be, you know, to have pretty centerpieces. And it's just so nice. Excuse me. And yes, it's a joy for me today to update you on our missionaries, what they're doing around the world, and even talk to you about missions. I am taking the opportunity, with you guys being my captive audience, to talk to you about missions today. We also have a service opportunity with the Christmas cards, and I will direct you to that at the end. And if you came today wondering how we can encourage and bless our missionaries, you are already doing it in being here. They know that we're here this morning and that we are updating them, and they are thrilled to know that you guys are thinking about them and that you are praying for them. They're just delighted to know that you guys want to build into the relationship with them. So they are blessed to know that you're here, and they are praying for our time together this morning too. So if I could get a raise of hands, how many of you receive our missionary newsletters? Okay, good. For those of you who don't, there is a paper sign up on the table underneath the map there, so please sign up there. You can also sign up on our website for the newsletters there. Now, one of the reasons I asked that is because I'm a homeschool mom, and I'm going to do a quiz for Candy this morning. I thought this would be so fun. So if you're at a table where you don't have someone who gets the newsletters, you might, this is your chance right now to find like the most stacked table and get there quick for my quiz for Candy. So I have four questions for you. This is open book, so feel free to use the resources around the church or use your phone. You can be ruthless, but don't be sinful, ladies, as you try to answer these questions. So let me see here. So pick a representative from your table to come up here. So the first person to get up here gets to answer the question, and if you win, you guys get a table candy. So, let's see if this works here. Quiz for candy. Okay, is everyone ready? Are we ready for this? Okay. First question. Kai recently published a book on A, Matthew 17, B, the book of Acts, C, the book of Revelation. I'm going to give you guys 1 minute, otherwise I get the candy, which my boys will be thrilled. Okay, Deborah, woohoo! Yes, it is in Acts. So, Kai Akagi considers the Christological significance of Jesus' role in judgment in the judgment speeches in Acts 10 and 17. Well done. Very good. Let's give a round of applause. Very good. Okay, the next question is, this is a good one. What are Sean and Jessica Ransom's kids' names? Now, there's 7 kids. That's a hint. But if you get 6, I'll take it. Woohoo! Get some competition! Wow, ladies, not sinful. Like, come on here. Yes? Very good, very good. And they actually have an older son named Keon. He's moved out. He's been out for a few years. Well done. Here's your candy. That's my table. Woohoo! Okay, next question. Where are the Ellingsons living right now? Oh, table, you gotta come up here. Woohoo! Good job, Benna. Okay. And, oh no, it skipped one. Oh no, that was right, that was right, that was right. It was just a picture of Albertville, France. Very good. Okay, so last question. What do Ricardo Morales and Pastor James have in common?
They're in the same class, they have the same tie.
Ah, yes! Same tie! That's what I was going for. Good job. Okay. Well done, ladies. Very good. You guys know your missionaries. Good. That's great. Okay. So my roadmap for this morning is I just want to talk to you a little bit about missions, remind us of what missions is. Then we're going to take a quick look through Acts and see how the mission took place in the early church. And then I'm going to introduce you again to our missionaries through the slideshow, and then I have a personal video from our missionary wives, which I am most excited to show you guys. And then I would like to spend some time praying for them, and then I actually want us all to get a big group picture to send to them in thanks for sharing with us today. So, to get started, what is missions? I think it would be good for us to remind ourselves of what God's word says about missions. We are living in a time when the work of missions and even the goal of missions is being tampered with to include things like social action and social improvements. And it can cause us to doubt our mission efforts and wonder if we are somehow missing the mark in what we're doing or what we should be doing. So my hope in reminding us of God's word about the subject is to bolster and, if needed, even renew your confidence in our missionaries and in Grace Life's endeavors across the world. So I think we all have a text that comes to mind when we think about missions. Matthew 28 is so often preached on and taught on and referred to, and that's good. It's what we call the Great Commission. They were among his last words before he ascended to the Father in heaven. And last words are so important, aren't they? They cause us to really lean in and listen carefully. We call Christ's words a commission because a commission is an instruction, a command, or a role given to a person or group. And that's exactly what is happening here. Christ is going to his disciples, and he's giving them a command, an instruction, and really a role. And by extension, we too, as disciples of Christ, have been given an instruction, a command, and a role. So if I could just get you all to turn around and look at the back for a second. I'm just going to take a drink of water. I don't want you to watch me take a drink of water. I'll do that throughout the morning. So Jesus, the Son of God, he also came with a mission from God. Listen for Christ's mission in these verses. Mark 10 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Luke 19, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Luke 4, "But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." John 1, "The next day he," that is John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 3, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." 1 Timothy 1, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." 1 Peter 3, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." These verses are the big picture verses of why Christ came to earth. These are his mission statements. He was sent by the Father to accomplish God's great redemptive plan, that is, to ransom a people for God to the glory of God. Listen to Revelation 5:9 in speaking of Christ. "Worthy are you, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Ladies, are you delighting that you've been ransomed today? Those are some of my favorite words to think on. We've been ransomed for God, to the glory of God. Listen to John 17:4. Christ says, "I glorified you on earth, have accomplished the work that you gave me to do." Christ has brought glory to God in his obedience to God's mission for him. This is so important for us to understand, especially when we think about missions. Why would that be? Because in John 20:21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." He's sending us in like manner. As Jesus glorified the Father by accomplishing the work God gave him to do, so we glorify God by accomplishing the work he gave us to do. Ladies, today, single or married, divorced or widowed, God has given us a work to do. Individually and as a church body, our supreme mission is to glorify God. And as Jesus gave God glory in his obedience, so do we. So let's look into the mission. Each gospel records Christ's commission to his disciples, and each one adds another element to the commission and to what our mission is. So we're going to look mostly at Matthew 28, but I'm going to bring in and mention the other commission statements just to give us a fuller picture of what the mission is. So I put the verses up here just, I didn't know if you guys brought your Bibles on these days, so I have it up there for you. So Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Now, in the middle of that verse, there is what it says, make disciples. Make disciples is the main verb in this sentence. This is the hub of the commission. And all the other parts in it point to this hub of making disciples. So you got to remember that. The Great Commission is about making disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner or a follower. Not a learner or follower of anyone or anything, but a learner and follower of Christ, as were Christ's disciples. I think we might have a picture in our mind of the 12 disciples walking with Jesus those 3 years, kind of behind him and on the sides of him, kind of peering into him, trying to listen to his every word that he said, watching all of the miracles performing that he was performing. asking him question after question, seeking out his teaching and understanding. They made great declarations as to who he was as they got to know him and his ministry. Things like, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I am a sinful man, O Lord. Truly, you are the Son of God," they declared. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." They made great declarations as they followed Christ, but they failed too in many points. They were weak. They were tired. They put their foot in their mouth a lot, which I'm thankful for that. They desired the wrong thing at times too. But like Peter humbly said, "You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you." They sinned, they fell. We sin and we fall. But their heart loved Christ. Their heart learned Christ. And they followed Christ. And that is a disciple. A verse to consider, too, actually, is Acts 11:28. It says, "In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians." And that's really what a disciple is, a Christian. One who bears Christ's name. And you guys, I believe, spent some time in your study of James recently looking at the fruit or the proofs of what is a Christian. Things like love for God, repentance from sin, genuine humility, devotion to God's glory, continual prayer, selfless love, separation from the world, spiritual growth, obedience, hunger for the word, a transformed life. And we've been seeing on Sunday and also in your study of James that a disciple is one who humbly receives that word, which is able to save their soul and lets that word affect the heart so as to change their life. It's so important that we understand that a disciple is a transformed person that is no longer living in darkness, but lives in the light of Christ. John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." So the commission Christ gave his disciples was not to make professors of Christ or talkers of Christ or thinkers of Christ, but to make transformed Christ-loving Christians. So if you could all turn around again, look the other way. So how were they to do that? How were they to make disciples? Well, the first thing mentioned in Matthew 28 is they were to go. Basically, that means to go. They were to journey, to travel, to have a destination in mind. They were not to wait for disciples to come to them. They were to go and pursue this mission. And that so well reflects our great God, isn't it, who came to pursue us. Left to us, we would have never have pursued him. They're not just to go anywhere, but to all the nations. This was a far-reaching call to obedience. Not just next door and around the corner, though it would involve that, but to the nations. The other passages say things like, to all creation, into all the world, even to the remotest part of the earth. This was a far-reaching command. But when the disciples will have heard that word nations, can you think in your mind what that would have reminded them of? And maybe it reminds you guys of something, having been through redemptive history. It will have reminded them of the covenant God made with Abram in Genesis 22:18, which says, "And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." The disciples will have understood that this commission was tied to God's promise to Abram way back when to bless all the nations of the earth. I think they must have been blown away. Their mission was in the vein of God's redemptive plan. So secondly, looking at the Great Commission, we see that in order to make disciples, one must proclaim the gospel. The commission passage in Mark says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." And this might seem obvious, but it needs to be said. There can be that thinking out there that disciples will rub off on other disciples and they'll want to become Christians. But we know from Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. One cannot be saved apart from the hearing of the word of Christ. That is the message of Christ, the gospel. that gospel message that God is holy, perfect, and just. He requires perfect obedience to his law. But that man is sinful, rebellious, and even dead to God and will be punished for their sin. But God, in his great love, sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his one and only begotten Son. Christ came and lived a perfect life of obedience to God. With all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, he loved God every moment. And he also came to bear the punishment of sinful men on the cross. But he rose again to life from the grave. He conquered sin and death and all those who repent and put their trust, that trusting faith in Christ and his sacrifice will be saved from the wrath of God that is coming on the earth and on sinful men. This gospel message was to motivate them to go to the nations. The gospel message was the message they were to proclaim to make disciples. It would be the means by which people would be saved. God works through his gospel message to make hearts alive. The gospel would be central and even foundational to every missionary endeavor that they did. The commission passage in Luke says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." This is important because it highlights repentance, that turning away from the old way and turning to faith in Christ. And I need to be reminded of that because I find it's one thing to share God's plan of salvation, but it's another thing to call people to repentance and to put that fork in people's road and say, you need to choose this day whom you will serve. So their gospel was to include a call to repentance. So, to make disciples, they needed to go to the nations. They needed to proclaim the gospel. And lastly, they were to baptize and teach all God's commands. Mark 16:16 says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." As the disciples preached the suffering and the death and the resurrection of Christ, some would scoff at them and scorn them, but others would hear it and believe and be saved. And those who did believe and were saved, they would baptize. It wasn't that their baptism was salvific. It was that proclamation that they had died to their old life and had risen again to new life in Christ. It was a proclamation of God's work in their heart. And then with that would begin a life of teaching all God's commands. It was really a life of discipleship after that, not only teaching, but looking for the fruit of godliness that comes with repentance and faith in God's way. Lastly, lady, all of these things, the going, the proclaiming of the gospel, and the baptizing and the teaching, was to be done in God's authority. Jesus tells his disciples, "All authority has been given to me. The God of the universe has given authority to his Son, and now Christ, on full authority from God, is giving instructions. Because there is no higher authority than our Lord's, we are to pursue this mission regardless of how the nations respond to our endeavor." And I never understood, what does this have to do with anything? Just the authority, I didn't really get that. But what's helped me understand it is I used to work for this job. It was called the Sterile Insect Release Program. You can ask me about that later. Very odd program. But it was a government-run program, and I had to basically, I had to go into people's yards and fruit inspect. I looked at fruit. So I would go to people's front door and say, "Hey, I'm here with the Sterile Insect Release Program. I'm here to look at your fruit trees," and they'd be like, "No, you're not going in my backyard." And then I would explain to them, actually, this is a government-funded program. This is something that the government is doing for the sake of our province. I have permission from the government to do this. And so then they would let me, and then they'd usually like stick their dogs on me, but they would let me go in because I had authority from the government to go and to do that. And that's just helped me to understand this is God's world. This is God's creation, and he's given us permission to go and to tell people the message of Christ, and they might not want to hear it, and they might stick their dogs on you too, but that's what we've been given authority to do. Is to share the gospel with his creation. So So Christ fulfilled his commission to the glory of God. He accomplished salvation on the cross. And now it is time for us to fulfill our commission, to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel, making disciples of Christ. And we do that to the glory of God. Today, right now, in this time we are living, missions is the work God is doing in his plan of redemption. So how do we obey that? What does that look like to us? What does that look like in my day-to-day when I'm home all day with my kids? I think a great thing to do is look at Acts. The disciples had just been given this commission. And if you turn the page and go to Acts, you see how they live this out. So we want to consider how the disciples carried out the mission that the Lord gave them. Acts gives us a historical narrative of the emerging growth of the early church, demonstrating how first Peter and James, Philip and Barnabas, and finally Paul and his partners follow the command of Christ to extend his salvation plan. Acts introduced the church as God's primary vehicle for extending his redemptive plan. So there's another commission statement I haven't mentioned yet, and it's in Acts. It is Acts 1:8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So the book of Acts is unfolding this succession. We see here the starting line of the Great Commission and the progression of the gospel from the Jews in Jerusalem out to the Roman Empire and then even out into the world. The disciples were promised the Holy Spirit to enable them to fulfill their commission. The rest of the book is the inspired record of the early church fulfilling the mandate to make disciples in the power of the Spirit. I have to take another sip. You can turn away if you want. So, we are going to take a super fast jet tour over the first several chapters of Acts to see how the disciples obeyed Christ's commission. So, Acts opens with the gathered believers in Jerusalem. While praying together, all of a sudden, they're given the promised Holy Spirit, and they begin speaking the word of God in different languages. In God's providence, this is the day of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks or Harvest. And this feast required that all Jewish men appear at the sanctuary in Jerusalem. These Jewish men were not native speakers of Aramaic or Hebrew, but speakers of their native country's language. So they witnessed the coming of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of their gospel in their own native tongue. Men from every continent of the then known world were there, even Asia, Africa, and Europe. So you can follow along with me. I want you guys to see the account for yourselves. So in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language?" I'm going to skip over the middle part because I don't know how to say those words. And I'm going to go back to "we hear." So we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." So following this in Acts 2, Peter preaches his first sermon, and it is a powerful sermon. He declares to the men listening God's promise to the nation of Israel that the Christ would come, and that he did come, and that they murdered him. And after hearing Peter and his sermon, this is how they respond. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received the word, his word, were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. So we are beginning to see the Great Commission happening. Peter is proclaiming the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Christ. He is preaching repentance and faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And those who receive his word are being baptized. Move on to verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So those ladies who were baptized were numbered with the local church family, where they would devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship together, to partaking of the ordinances together, and to prayer. And if you remember, we just learned about the means of sanctification. I think those were like four of the seven of them. So we're seeing that life of discipleship is happening to those who have been brought into the church. Peter is fulfilling the Great Commission. He has been proclaiming the gospel message. He's calling for repentance. And he is baptizing those who are saved and is now teaching them. That life of discipleship has started. So we're missing one thing, but it's coming. So we're going to jump over to Acts 11, and you can follow with me there. So those who were scattered because of persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen. So let me actually pause there. If you remember Stephen, he was one of the men set apart for the work of taking care of the widows in Acts 7 within the church. He was given a great opportunity to preach the gospel to the high priest. And it was an incredible sermon. But the high priest and a lot of the other people who were listening hated him and hated his message, and they stoned him and killed him. So actually, I'll start again then. So Acts 11, 19. So then, those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks. Ding, ding, Greeks. Also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So we see here two ways the gospel is going forth. First, because of persecution that arose in connection with Stephen, there was a scattering of believers. Stephen's martyrdom was a huge catalyst for the spread of the gospel. Wherever these scattered Christians went, they were speaking the word. The Lord blessed the work of those in Antioch who spoke the word to the Gentiles. These believers were not sent, so to speak, by anyone. They were just faithful where they were to proclaim the gospel. We need to praise the Lord for people who are faithful to proclaim the gospel wherever they are. Secondly, when the church at Jerusalem heard about the work in Antioch, they sent Barnabas there. He was sent to support and bolster the work that was already happening in Antioch. He eventually needed more help, so he brought Saul to Antioch as well. And together they would focus on teaching and preaching the word so as to build up the church in Antioch. God was so faithful to those believers in Antioch to bring them a minister of the gospel, to bring them two amazing ministers of the gospel. So, skipping over now to chapter 13, and I think this is about 10 years later. It says, in verse 1 to 5, "Now there were in Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper." So at this point now, we see that Antioch, the church in Antioch, has grown, probably in numbers, for sure in maturity, and maybe even financially. It is quite robust. They have men full of the Spirit, godly men who are teaching and encouraging the church body. And it's at this point now that the Spirit sets two men apart for another special work, which turns out to be, by this time it's Paul, not Saul. He has a name change. This turns out to be Paul's first missionary journey. The church in Antioch became the hub from which the gospel spread through Paul and his fellow workers. And as Paul covered more ground, more churches took part in supporting his gospel advancement. At the end of chapter 14, and after ministering in several places, Paul comes back to Antioch now to report what God has done. So, Acts 14, 25, we read, "When they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, I'm not sure how to say that. From there they sailed to Antioch, from which they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had accomplished. When they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they spent a long time with the disciples." The Christians of the church at Antioch received Paul to hear all God was doing in further and further and further lands. So as we do that jet tour over the beginning of Acts, we are seeing chapter 1, verse 8 fulfilled, which said, "Beginning in Jerusalem, extending through Judea to Samaria, the gospel would go forth to every other nation and to the uttermost parts of the earth." As the disciples fulfilled their mission, the church of Christ was built. And as the church grew and multiplied, more and more people were sent out to proclaim the gospel and build up other believers where there was no church or where there was a struggling church. And in doing so, they were propagating the church around the world. Christ promised Peter in Matthew 16, 18, that he would build his church and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Christ commissioned Peter and all his disciples to make disciples of all nations. Are these separate, ladies? Are these two different things? Just want you to think about that. The church is God's plan for world missions. The church is God's redemptive plan to bring the nations the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people of every nation, tribe, people, and tongue all together might live to the glory of God. So when we consider the Great Commission and how it applies to us personally in the day-to-day of our lives, it is wise and good and right to think about it as our obedience in the context of the church. As we hear the word of God through personal evangelism and through missionary efforts, and as people are saved, they are brought into the body of Christ spiritually as a new creation, and physically into the church family. They grow in maturity through the means of grace God supplies, the word through preaching and teaching, the word through prayer and fellowship, providence, and so on. And as the body collectively grows in maturity, it is able to send gifted men and women to new places to share the gospel and build Christ's church. So let me ask you, ladies, as you think about Grace Life Church and your place here, your involvement and your commitment here and to one another, do you have a mindset for missions? Do you look to the Lord to use us beyond Grace Life Church and beyond Edmonton? Do you want to see what happens here happen elsewhere?
Not going to get emotional.
And are you willing and happy to send gifted people from among you to places where Christ is not named or where people are famished for the word of God? Duh. So I encourage you, ladies, to think about your love for God's glory and your love for the gospel. And if it affects your desire to grow here so that the gospel can go forth from here. And I'm encouraging myself with that too. Our love for missions will be as deep as our love is for God's glory. To be on the lips of his people, of his ransomed people. So let's be praying for one another that we would have this mindset. And let's be praying that we would understand just the immense privilege we have to be a part of God's redemptive work in the world. Such an incredible privilege. So, with that, I would like to introduce you to our missionaries. So, this is great because this might be a lot of review for you guys, but there's so many of you who don't come on Sunday. So, it's a nice way to introduce you for the first time. Before I get into that, I just want to tell you something about all of our missionaries that they have in common. They are teaching local pastors, or are working toward teaching local pastors and lay leaders the scriptures, so that those men that they're teaching can go back to their churches and properly teach the word of God. The goal being that as the pastors grow in their understanding of the scriptures and learn to communicate God's word, their flocks, too, will grow in their understanding of Scripture and therefore mature in the faith so as to build up the church and see it propagate in the land. Our missionaries are committed to and involved in their local church. They understand from God's word that the building up of the true church is the mission of God in this age. And our missionaries really are Barnabases and Pauls. They are godly, spirit-filled men. They are elder qualified, able to teach, able to put things in order, like Paul instructed Titus. They are men whose doctrine and life are in accord with the scriptures. Thank you. Our elders have been very careful and diligent to look for such men, those set-apart men called to the work. Our missionaries, too, have committed their lives to the long haul of this work, their ultimate goal being God's fame and glory to be on the lips of all nations, tribes, and tongues, till God receive the glory and praise he is worthy from his redeemed people. And lastly, they are all TMS grads. And I think that's important to say. Some might say you have all your eggs in one basket, but it's a really good basket. So part of that is that the elders here know so well what the TMS guys know and believe. So they know what they teach. They know that they hold God's word so highly. And also, it's just nice to know, and knowing that, they can send you guys there, and they know that you're going to receive good teaching if you go and help them, support them in some way on the field. And it's a great way we can have them come in and teach, and we don't have to worry about what they're going to teach you guys. So I think that's important to just say. Something cool, too, about our missionaries is that we have some that are still preparing to go and some who are veterans. So we have quite a gamut of missionaries. So the first ones are Sean and Jessica Ransom. They are in Manila, Philippines, and they've been there since 2004. Sean teaches weekly at the Expositors Academy in Manila, and he teaches in modules. He's mobile, so he'll go throughout the Philippines and teach men so that these pastors don't have to leave their flocks to come and learn. He goes out to them to teach them. So so that they don't have to do that and leave their families too. Jessica works at Faith Academy, which is a missionary kids school in Manila. Together, they attend Green Hills Christian Fellowship. Sean is an elder there. He serves as the missions ministry leader. They lead weekly Bible studies, and they have a huge ministry to the poor. I think that's important to mention. You guys were talking in James 2. Actually, are you there yet about faith and works? Yeah, so I just think it's cool. You know, they didn't go to the Philippines to minister to the poor. They went to the Philippines to proclaim the gospel. But in their love for their neighbor, they're ministering to the poor. So their goal is to train nationals to teach God's word throughout the Philippines and other nations. This is interesting. Over 11 million Filipinos work outside the Philippines and in many countries where missionaries are not allowed. So they are excited to be able to teach those people who are going out into these other countries where the gospel's not allowed. So that's pretty cool. In their own words, their desire is to spread God's fame in the Philippines and other nations through the graduates of TIA. So we support them $755 US a month, and we are also supporting TIA $1,000 US a month. The next one is Kai. He is serving in Tokyo, Japan since 2017. He's teaching at Japan Bible Academy, which also is portable. He goes around Japan and will teach. They have a lay leadership program, but he is working towards building that up into pastoral training. He attends the third one down there, the SS. I do not know how to say that. So he's also attending that seminary in Japan. Apparently it's a pretty good seminary, and he has started teaching there. He was going there, taking some classes, but now he's actually started teaching at that seminary in Japan as well. And he attends that church. I can't say that either. He's involved in preaching at their weekly prayer meetings and teaching. He's been speaking at a lot of different events at churches that are connected to his church, which is pretty cool. And right now he is working on an exam for his Japanese language as a first language. Okay, that probably didn't make sense. So he just passed an exam where he did an exam as if Japanese was your second language. Now he's doing it as though it was his first language. This guy he's like so smart. And he just completed his book, which you guys already saw, and he's working on more. Things to love about Kai is he has such a love for church-centered discipleship. He loves his church, and when you read his updates, he is so involved in people's lives and getting to know people. And he's always in evangelistic conversation, which is cool, and he's a networker. I love how he's always trying to get people with people so as to best minister to people. Kai is a pretty awesome guy. I didn't say how much we're supporting him on there. Oh, sorry, ladies, and I don't think I have my notes for that. Oh, that's right. That's what it is. Turn the page. Thank you. Okay, so to date, we've given him $4,000, but yes, we are not giving right now because he had an abundance and he is pursuing his citizenship, which would allow him to be paid at some of the positions he has. So we are still supporting him in prayer and in support, just not financially right now. And two of your tables have his prayer requests. I don't know if he has this on there, but he will not have a day off between this month and March. He's working 7 days a week, and I'm a little bit worried about him as a mom. I'm just like, you can't do that. But I think we just need to pray for him. In the last couple updates, he's mentioned that he needs stamina and strength. So let's be sure to pray for him. He is working hard. The next ones, we have David and Ashley Ellingson. They are currently in France, Albertville, France, doing language school, and then they plan to go to Madagascar. Same deal, he will be involved in the local church there, looking for men to disciple and to train up for future leadership. And then him and his partner, Folly, will be developing a seminary there as well to train the indigenous pastors there too. Both of them will serve in hospitality in their church and through biblical counseling. As an update for Ashley, she has completed 36 of her 50 sessions towards her biblical counseling certificate. So she actually asked for prayer for that, aside from the video I'm going to show you, to just pray for wisdom in that. She doesn't know if she's doing the right thing in pausing that right now, but she's so busy. So I think it's fine. But pray for her for wisdom in that. Did that make sense? Okay, thank you. Okay, and then lastly, we have Ricardo and Vanna Morales. Oh, wait. We are supporting Ashley and David $1,000 US a month. Pretty awesome. Ricardo and Vanna, they are still raising support, but their plan is to go to Bogota, Colombia, where, same thing, they will serve in the local church there. Lil, can you say that? The last one, the church that they're going to go to? Come. A little bit louder. A little bit louder. Okay, thank you. So that's the church that they will serve at with some friends of theirs, and then they too will be working towards establishing a seminary there. So that is them, $1,000 a month there too. Thank you, ladies, for how you support our missionaries. Like, our church has been very blessed financially to be able to pour into the work that they're doing. What a joy to partner with them in this way and to support the work that they're doing and bringing the gospel to the nations. So my most exciting part for you is the videos. So we have videos from Ashley, Ivana, and Jessica. So I will show these now, and then we will pray for them.
Bonjour, Grace Life Edmonton. My name is Ashley Ellingson, and my husband and I and four girls recently moved to Albertville, France in August to learn the French language before moving to Madagascar to serve as missionaries there. And we have now been living in France for 2 months, and we've been attending a Christian language school 4 days a week, completely immersing ourselves in French and studying hard to learn this language as best as we can over the next year so that we can be more prepared to serve in Madagascar. So I'm just gonna answer some questions, share a little bit about how we're doing here, how the adjustment's been going, and just what God's been teaching me since we've moved here 2 months ago. One of the questions that Jody asked is, what does a typical day look like for us now? Well, our days have really drastically changed. I used to stay home with my girls and homeschool, and now all of us go to school every day. So my husband and I go to language school, and our four daughters, for the very first time, are going to a public school. It's a French elementary school. So we all have to get out the door in the morning now. We walk our daughters over to their school. It's about a 5-minute walk. And we're all in school till about 4:30. So that's a typical day for us. We'll get out of school and go pick up our girls and go home and usually get dinner started. Then once we put the kids to bed, David and I usually have homework to do and studying. So a lot of times we're up after the kids go to bed for 2 or 3 hours working on devoirs, which is homework in French. So it's a lot of work. We're very tired by the time we crash into bed. Language school is definitely challenging. Just trying to really understand, comprehend, and speak, learn the grammar of a new language. But it's exciting at the same time. So it's been a big adjustment. Our typical days definitely look very different from what they looked like when we lived in California. And then Sundays, we walk down the street to a church. It is definitely different than being in California. The church is, of course, all in French, and so we are trying to follow along in our French Bibles and try to pick up as much as we can from the sermon. And we're learning to sing worship songs in French. It's just all a new experience for us, so but it's it's helpful just to continue to be exposed to the language. Usually Sunday afternoon, we're taking our evaluation for language school that we have every weekend. So yeah, it's busy. We study a lot. And two of the verses that I've really been meditating on lately, well, the first one's from Colossians 2, 6 and 7, which says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." I just love the image of overflowing with gratitude. I want to have a heart that is overflowing with gratitude instead of complaining and grumbling. And so that verse really stood out to me, just that idea of overflowing with gratitude. The other verse that I've been meditating on is from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, because it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Just knowing that giving thanks is God's will for me. And so no matter what circumstance I'm in or what kind of day I'm having or how well I'm understanding French or how well I did on my evaluation, that I want to give thanks to God because that is his will for my life. And again, it goes back to having that heart of gratitude. Anything more we could be praying for you, Sonia? You can pray for me just for my attitude, that I would continue to trust the Lord in everything and rejoice and be thankful. It's really easy to get discouraged when you're trying to learn a new language, and me as a mom trying to be a student again for the first time after many, many years has been a challenge trying to take on intense language study. So just pray for me to be able to learn and to trust the Lord with the level that I am able to learn at and the speed, even when it's not as fast as I would like it to be, that I would just trust him and be able to love my husband and my children in the midst of all the change and be a godly mother, even when I might feel stressed out or overwhelmed, just that I would be an example to my children and just walk in the Spirit. And I just wanted to say a special thank you to each and every one of you for just your prayers for us, for thinking of us, for praying for us, for caring about us. Your love has been incredible. And we're just so thankful for each and every one of you ladies and your families. And we look forward to one day being together with you again. We would love to see all of you and fellowship. And until then, thank you for keeping us in your prayers and in your hearts. Thank you for holding the rope for us while we're here in France learning French.
Hey everybody, it's Vanna Morales, and I am so very happy to send you guys greetings. We just have such fond memories of all of you and really, really miss you guys. Our hearts are just really knit together with a lot of you, and we miss you a lot. So Jody had asked me a little bit about what my typical day looks like. So I'm sitting here in the car, and the back seat's probably really dirty. But yeah, we've been in the car a lot lately, so I thought this was a really appropriate place to record this video, and this is the only other place I could think of that was quiet right now in my world. So we are still at about 55 to 60% of our monthly support needs to go to Columbia. So you guys are a huge blessing in that. And yeah, so we've been on the road a ton over the last few months. My dad up in Oregon passed away in May. he was a believer, and so it was a really huge blessing to get to be there with my mom and dad at that time. And we've been there with my mom trying to help her just adjust to life now in this season. So between being there with her and then back down here to Southern California, Ricardo's been preaching in several churches down here and just meeting with different people. We have a supporting church we went and visited in Maryland. So we got to go to Washington, D.C. for a day. And again, I think the blessing in all of this has been just such neat new friendships and just to get to see the Lord's work and his hand out across many, many different places and many different churches has been a really neat blessing. But it's also been a challenge because there's not a routine. I don't have, just a schedule, set schedule. I'm homeschooling Vivi like a lot of you are. So it's been a challenge just the day-to-day spelling words and getting through math facts, things like that are just challenging. So you can pray for me in that. And I just think my soul is really craving a routine right now. So a lot of my time in the Word has just been centered around finding joy in what the Lord has and contentment. So that has just been a real blessing to be thinking through that. Those are commands in Scripture. They're not optional for us. And that's not saying that it's all about us, but that we should be willingly and happily submitting to the Lord. And when we don't, that's usually when we're not happy, it's because we're not really submitting to the Lord's will. So that's kind of been where I've been sitting in the Word lately. For book recommendations, I actually have one kind of for your kids. Vivi and I, for her homeschool, have been going through a book called The Ology. Instead of theology, The Ology. It's by Marty Marchowski. And basically, it's a systematic theology for kids. And so far, it has been really solid and really a blessing. And I just want to encourage you ladies that I don't believe that systematic theology is just something for pastors or theologians. It's for ladies too. And you guys need to be thinking through a systematic way to think about God, be thinking about his work and Christ. And this book has just been a blessing because it breaks it right down into something that even my daughter, age 7, is doing great with and understanding and really growing in. So that's been a huge blessing, I guess, for her and watching her grow. And that has been a blessing to me. Yeah, and just like I'm saying, just pray for us. This whole process has taken us longer than what we probably had expected. And just learning trust in God's timing and just trust in this season of life and that realizing it is a season and that not all things are going to be exactly like they are right now is an important thing for all of us, I think. So anyway, I just wanted to say hi. And you guys are such blessings in our hearts, and we miss you lots. So have a blessed day and enjoy your time together there. Bye.
Hi, I'm Jessica Ransom. I'm married to Sean, and we are serving as missionaries in the Philippines.
Good morning.
We've been here for about 15 years now, and we have been married for double that, 30 years now this year, and we have 7 children. 2 of our kids are actually grown and out of the house. Our oldest son, Kian, is married. And our second son, Christian, and just graduated with his degree in computer science. But we do have 5 kids still at home, and here they are.
Okay, I'm Gracie. I'm 17, and I'm in 12th grade.
I'm Tyler. I'm 15, and I'm in a sophomore.
Hi, I'm Izzy, and I'm in 7th grade.
And how old are you?
13.
Okay.
I'm Josiah, I'm in 4th grade, and I am 9 years old.
Right. And?
I'm Nina, and I'm 3 years old.
3 years old, good job! Yay, she'll be 4 in December.
What is our typical weekday like for all of us? Our kids actually attend Faith Academy, which is a school for missionary kids, and it is probably one of the largest and one of the oldest schools for MKs. Sean's schedule, he does a lot of travel. The team of teachers basically train pastors and ministry leaders at several different islands in the Philippines. In fact, they're teaching pastors in 13 different locations, I believe. Sean is also a team leader, so there's a lot of responsibilities that come with that. And he's preparing for sermons from time to time, speaking engagements. So his schedule on a week-to-week basis doesn't always look the same. So as for me and what my weekly schedule looks like, I get to serve at the school my kids go to. Basically, I'm in HR, so that means I get to be involved with recruiting, member care. I'm also doing a couple of Bible studies that I facilitate for women on staff. So two small studies. One group, we're studying the book of Romans, and another group, we are doing a book on prayer. I get to also do a lot of biblical counseling by God's grace, part of member care. Okay, so the next question is, what do we like to do on Saturdays or on our days off? As a family, I think we like to spend our downtime mostly at home, popping in a movie maybe and watching as a family. We also sometimes go to the mall. There's a lot of malls in Manila. Saturday mornings, the kids actually have a lot of sports events that we parents love to watch. And then other things we do on our downtime is our family devotions. We get to do that a few times a week, and we include everybody, including our three-year-old. One evening, she raised her hand to interject her thoughts, and I think I'll share that snippet right here.
The snake came, and then he told him, you can eat your food, and then he ate the food, and then he just obeyed God.
Oh, no. Did they get in trouble for disobeying God?
Yeah, and then they had to go out of the garden.
Oh, no.
What's their names?
Adam and Eve disobeyed God, so God had to punish them and put them out of the garden. That's sad. Too bad they didn't obey God, huh?
And people who don't obey God don't love God.
That's true. Let me read some more about peacemaking.
So what do our Sunday mornings typically look like? It starts off at 6:45 a.m. when I drop off Gracie to do ministry to the kids in our neighborhood, basically. Faith Academy has a ministry called A4J, or All for Jesus, and about 400 kids on Sunday mornings run up to our campus for basically a Sunday school. So after Gracie is done with that, around 8:30 or so, we then get ready for church. Our church is only about 5, maybe 7 minutes away tops. This is the road heading there. When we get to church, we have a Bible study.
Hi.
Right now we're doing Galatians, and it starts from 10 a.m. until 11.
And now this next section, Paul testified that his salvation, not only was the message, but his salvation was a work of God.
And then 11 o'clock is actually our main worship service. Our senior pastor is Erwin Quimboy, who is a graduate of Sean's training ministry. He is not only a former student, but he actually now helps train along with Sean. So he's one of our part-time staff members now. It's pretty awesome to see how God will use those who our team has trained to now be training others as well. As far as what am I reading in the Word lately? I am reading through Psalms. I'm also reading this book with other GMI missionaries, and I'm reading The Gospel Treason. As far as what do we miss from home? Food. Specific food, such as Mexican food. Not a lot of good Mexican food in the Philippines. We also miss family. My parents, my siblings, my nieces and nephews I never got to watch growing up. So that's a little hard. We miss our home church. Lots of things, but nothing that we wouldn't give up for the Lord. You asked the question if I love being a missionary, and absolutely, without a doubt. Wouldn't have thought it in the beginning when my husband was called first and I wasn't, but I am so glad that God changed my heart, because it is such a joy to be able to be used by Him to impact lives where I'm really not doing anything. He's doing it all, and I get to go along for the ride. You know, I love counseling women, I love discipling, I love sharing the gospel. So when I see God's fruit in those things happen, it's like, okay, this is where I'm meant to be, and there's nothing I would trade for it. I hope that answers your questions. And I think I need to share prayer requests now. Okay, please pray for our senior girl, Gracie, who will be looking at colleges, trying to see if she can get enough financial aid. Pray for a job for Christian. He's looking to be a software developer. I really need the Lord's help in recruiting for Faith Academy, especially because our school does not pay any salaries to staff. It's basically a ministry. So all of our teachers need to raise support to come and teach at our school. So that makes my job really hard, but it makes it an awesome opportunity for me to watch God at work, because he calls people and he provides the staff. He does that year after year. It's so fun to watch. And then he also provides for their monthly support. And pray for our furlough next year, which is, Lord willing, going to be in June, and we'll be there for about 7 months. Between now and June, there's probably going to be a lot of prepping for me, a lot of planning. Pray for God's hand on that. Okay, thank you so much for your ministry to our family, for your care and your love. Really appreciate that you pray for us, and that you wanted to get to know us personally as wives. I hope to get to meet you all when we go on furlough next June. God bless. I'll be praying for you all. Bye-bye.
Isn't that awesome? Oh, we are just, I'm so blessed by them, their ministry and their faithfulness to the Lord. And we are so privileged to be able to partner with those guys. I would like us just to spend some time praying for them. You guys have sheets on your tables. I've given one person, or like one missionary family, sorry, per table. So if you guys can maybe designate one person to maybe read them out to your table. And then just we'll take some time to pray for them. I don't know, maybe like 5 to 7 minutes. When it starts to get quiet, I will pipe in again. But yeah, pray for those things there. Whatever was shared in the videos is not on your sheet, so feel free to add what the ladies shared there with you as well. So yeah, go ahead and read those and pray together. Okay, ladies, you can continue to pray if you're still praying in your group, but I want to close with 3 John chapter 5 to verse 8. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Let's just close in prayer, ladies. Father, we are so thankful for the missionaries that you've given us to partner with in your great work of redemption in the world. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, and we pray that you would supply all their need. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege that we have to be a part of your work in this world, Lord, and we thank you that you give us all grace to accomplish what you've called us to. And Lord, we just pray that you would bring in the nations, that you would save your people, and we look forward to the day when we will all be together and that we will behold your glory together and worship you for your great salvation. We praise you and thank you for this time together. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And it's in him we delight in and are just so thankful, Lord. Amen. Okay, and I'll just remind you guys, there's Christmas cards at the back. So feel free to sign a card that's there. Or if you want to write a note, that's kind of what these papers are there for. Feel free to write a note. This Sunday is the last Sunday to do them, so if you want to take some home, go for it, just bring it on Sunday. And also, if you want to take a card to your small group or home group, feel free to take a card for your group to sign as well. And I think that's it. Yeah. Oh, and I want to do the picture.
The
picture.
Thank you so much, Jody, just for showing us how we can be effective in supporting our missionaries on the field. I love what you said, and I might get the second half of it wrong, but it was your love of missions goes as deep as your love or commitment to God's glory. And that's so true, that we want to be committed to God's glory. And that's the reason why we support our missionaries financially and prayerfully, is because we want to see God's glory go to the ends of the earth. So thank you so much, because out of sight is out of mind. And so the fact that you brought them before us is such a huge blessing.